We're about to begin our journey into Parshat Ekev, which is very exciting. Parshat Ekev is another stream of beautiful, poetic, just gorgeous parshiot in the beginning of Sefer Devarim, throughout Sefer Devarim. The Etchanan and Ekev, in my mind, certainly from when I remember them, are two parshiot that often sort of get melded together. There's a lot of emphasis on different types of psukim that we don't normally see in Chumash, and this is something which we've mentioned in the past, and I want to spend a minute or two on this. And this is the Etchanan and Ekev together, and then we'll do what we normally do, and let's start to break them apart and see what makes them unique and individual parshiot. We've been talking about the fact that Sefer Devarim is this bottom line Sefer. That Sefer Devarim is the Sefer that's the conclusion of Chumash, reaching all the way back to our first Shiurim on Devarim. It has to be the Sefer that brings all of Chumash together as the fifth book, right? As the fifth book of Chamisha Chumshei Torah. In the same way that Chumash has to be a reality of five, and this is the fifth book, it has to be the wrapping up, the bringing together of everything that Torah is about. In previous Shiurim, we've talked about, two Shiurim ago, I believe, maybe last year, it's been a while with the snow days, but in Purim, but the idea of Klal Pratu Klal, the fact that there's a Klal of what Torah is, there are the details of Torah, and now this is Sefer Devarim coming back to this overarching principles of what Torah are about. And so what we find here is that it's also reflected in the language of the Sefer. We have no other Sefer of Chumash that's like this. No other Sefer of Chumash, where while every pasuk is obviously and clearly unique, there seems on the surface to be so much repetition. And not only is there so much repetition, and I'm talking about repeating stories, and repeating pasukim, pasuk after pasuk, that are very similar, but where the focus is on Avodas Hashem, in a way that we just don't find anywhere else in Chumash. Whether it's big picture pasukim, like we saw in Parshat Ekev, saw in Parshat Vetchanan, pesukim like Ata horeita ladat ki Hashem hu Elokim ein od milvado. You can't get more bottom line than that. You have been shown in order to know that God is Yudke Vavke is Elokim, that there is nothing else but God. There's nothing else but Him. V'yadata hayom v'ashivota el avecha ki Hashem hu Elokim b'shamayim ma'al v'al ha'aretz mitachat ein od. Such bottom line, beautiful pesukim. Pesukim from Parshat Ekev, which we're shifting into now. It's hard for me to find them because as I was preparing, I basically just underlined Parshat Ekev. It's all amazing. How could you not? Like, every pasuk just speaks for itself. I know we're having shir, we just read and translate every pasuk. That should be shir. You don't need to hear it from me. Moshe Rabbeinu just gushing. Sukim like, we'll talk about this hopefully more at length in these shirim. The parshat Yira that's in this parsha. V'atah Yisrael, ma Hashem Elokech Sholeimach. What can get more bottom line than that? Moshe Ben Jadon says, Klal Yisrael, now Israel, what does God want from you? You know, so often we think, what does God really want from us? And the reason why we don't know the answer to the question is because nobody learns Devarim. But it's in the Psukim. It's not even a Mamar Chazal. V'atah Yisrael, ma Hashem Elokech Sholeimach. What does God want from you? Moshe Ben Jadon says, I will tell you. I, who the person who had the closest relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu that anybody could ever have, who spoke to God about panim be panim, we talked about that today in Shir Kali. He tells us, what does God want from you? And he lists the five things that God wants from us. It doesn't get more bottom line than that. Sukim like, et Hashem Elokecha tira, fear God, ve'oto ta'avod, and serve God. Uvotibak, and cling to God. The rest of the Torah is so focused, like we talked about in Pivishim, on specific mitzvot. This is on Avodas Hashem Bichlal. This is where the whole Torah is going toward. It's the bottom line safer, and so the psukim here are reflecting that in these bigger, more overarching worldview psukim. The phrase that comes up again and again in these parshiot, Bichol levavecha, uvichol nafshecha. Where do you see psukim like that in Chumash? To serve God with all of your heart and all of your soul. And in the same way that we work out the nuanced details of every single mitzvah to figure out, what does it mean to serve God with all of your heart and all of your soul? How is that the bottom line? Why is that the bottom line? How does that work? And these parshiot bring this out. Moshe Rabbeinu shares this in just the most powerful and incredible way. And again, we're like, I think it would be worthwhile, literally, I think it would be a legitimate value to our time to just sit here and literally read and translate every pasuk in parshiot, Vechanan, and Ikev. So we're in Ikev, so we'll just do Ikev. Still worth it. One of the most powerful Musar Sfarim that were ever written is the beginning of Devarim. How to really be a Jew. It's all right here. And it's because it's the end of Torah, it's the bottom line of Torah, it's the wrapping up of Torah. But because of these similar phrases and these big ideas and the fact that there isn't really a clear and overt story narrative. You know, you look at Shmot, there's a story, things are happening. Plagues, Yitzhak Mitzrayim, Kriyat Yamsuf, the trek to Har Sinai, Matan Torah, we have a narrative that we can track. We have to understand how the different pieces of it work. Shir Chali, we spent all of Shir Chali to understand how does Kitisa fit into the middle of the Mishkan Parshiot, so there are questions in that narrative. But you have a clear narrative. It doesn't come out as clearly in Devarim because it's this beautiful, just emotive speech. It's a brilliant speech also. The mind and the heart should be connected. But it's this emotive speech. So when you get to Parshiot like Vechanan and Ikev, the question is, how do we differentiate between the two? So we talked extensively about Vechanan, and those were very intense discussions because we're talking about the big underlying concepts within Torah. And now we come to Ikev. What distinguishes Ikev from Vechanan? Anybody, whether you got a chance, and you actually got a chance to look over Ikev before Shir today, or remembering things you've heard about Ikev or having studied Ikev, does anybody know kind of, once you start looking at the Pesukim, what quickly emerges, what quickly comes to the surface in terms of the unique aspect, the new floor, the new layer, or the new framework, because there's going to be a lot of different layers in that framework that Ikev brings out in contrast to Vechanan? It's one major concept. Ikev adds in the layer of Eretz Yisrael. In Parshat Vechanan, we talked about Hashkachat Hashem. We talked about living within both Hanagat HaYichud and Hanagat HaMishpat. We talked about doing the mitzvot. We talked about Vasida Yashar Bato B'nei Hashem. All that's how to live life. That's all about the fact that God is good. That God is Tov. That God is the God of love. That reframing that we're trying to create. Ikev takes us to a new place, literally and figuratively, which is that God is a God of Tov and a God of Ahava, who guides the world in a way of Tov, in a way of Ahava, and brings us to a place of Tov and a place of Ahava. This is the destination. This is the last kind of piece in that narrative in and of itself. And so many of the psukim in this parsha revolve around Eretz Yisrael, and so it is very much one of the key underlying themes of the parsha. Let's take a look at a few psukim just to support that point, and then we'll start getting into some of the aspects of it. Already from, take a look at the second paragraph. Open up your chumashim. We're going to be looking at a lot of psukim inside today. Perek Zayin Pasuk Yud Zayin. Ki tomar bilvavcha rabim ha'goyim ha'ila mimeni. If you say in your heart, these nations are too great for me, Echa uchal lehorisham. How will I overcome them? By the way, this is something which I noticed when I was going through Devarim. Not only is the first time Echa appears in Chumash in Parsha Devarim, but it actually appears multiple times in Sefer Devarim. And I wonder what the arc there is. I don't have a good answer for that. But the Echa comes up multiple times throughout Devarim, and I suspect, I have no proof for this, but I suspect that the Echa that emerges in Devarim is the Echa that's broken, and that somehow the rest of these Echas are trying to bring us to a place of Tikkun over the Zayin de Nechemta. I suspect, but I don't have a clear way of bringing them together yet. If anybody has any ideas over time, please share them. Motzi Rami Pnehem, don't be afraid of them as you go in to conquer the lands. Pasuk Yutet, all the way at the end of Yutet. Kein yaseh Hashem elkecha l'chol ha'amim asher ata yareid pnehem. Going forward. Beginning of the next paragraph. Two paragraphs down. Perek Tet Pasuk Aleph. Shema Yisrael ata uver ata yardein lavo l'areshet goyim gedolim v'atzim imenu. You're about to cross into this land to fight people who are much greater than you. We really get into the heart and soul of the Pesukim at Eretz Yisrael. Oh no, I skipped them. I knew I was missing something. Like I said, everything's underlined, so it's hard to tease them out. If you go back, sorry, go back to the opening paragraphs. Like, it had to be at the beginning. Go back to the opening paragraphs. Perek Chet. Pasuk Zayin. There we go. All the way at the beginning. It had to be something at the beginning. Ki Hashem Elokecha Meviyachah El Eretz Tova. Again, just like we said, God is a God of Tov, who guides the world with Tov to a place of Tov, to a land of Tov. Ki Hashem Elokecha Meviyachah El Eretz Tova. Eretz Nachalimayim, just beautifully describing Eretz Yisrael. Ayanot Utehomot, Yotzim Babikao Vahar. And here one of the key psukim about Eretz Yisrael, which produces the beautiful fruits of Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Chita Useora, V'Gefen Uteina V'Rimon, Eretz Zeit Shemen Udvash. That's from Parshat Ekev, because Parshat Ekev is the Eretz Yisrael Parsha. Eretz Asher B'Miskenut Tochal Balechem, Lo Techsar Kol Ba, Eretz Yeravaneh Barzel Me'aren Lachsov Nechoshet. Beautiful psukim about Eretz Yisrael. Just, I'll read the translation of those three psukim. For Hashem your God is bringing you to a land, to a good land, a land with streams of water, of springs and underground water coming forth in valley and mountain, a land of wheat, barley, grape, fig, and pomegranate, a land of olive oil and date honey, a land where you will eat bread without poverty, you will lack nothing there, a land whose stones are iron and from whose mountains you will mine copper. Just beautifully describing the land. Perek Yud Aleph, skip forward a few pages. Again, in Pesukim, they're emphasizing the beauty of Eretz Yisrael. The last Pesukim of the paragraph there in Yud Aleph. Perek Yud Aleph, Pasuk Tet. Uleman tarichu yanim al ha'adaman, to extend your days on the land. Al ha'adama asher nishbashim lavotechem, latit lachem ulezaram, which God promised to give, your promise your forefathers to give to you and to your children. Eretz zavat chalav u'dvash. Also our parsha. Eretz zavat chalav u'dvash. And then Pesukim, which I do hope we will swing back to in a different shiur, in a different context than Akev. But to even see them now, and just to begin to take them in the context of the Parsha of Eretz Yisrael, this beautiful little poem that's tucked away here in Parsha Akev, that seems on the surface to be such an odd way to frame Eretz Yisrael, but has such depths of what Eretz Yisrael is about. Ke'aretz asher v'ashama li'rishta, this land that you're coming to inherit, lo ke'aretz mitzrayim hi, defining in this little, again, this short little poem almost, a contrast between Eretz Mitzrayim and Eretz Yisrael. That this land is not like Eretz Mitzrayim. How do we define Eretz Mitzrayim? What was the unique aspect of Eretz Mitzrayim? Asher yatzata misham, which you came out of, asher tizrat zaracha, where you have to water the seeds. Vishkata v'rag l'chak gana yarak, which some of Farshim understand as, where you have to come and take the water from the Nile and then water it yourselves from the Nile. Of all the things to describe Eretz Mitzrayim, that's not how I would have thought to describe Eretz Mitzrayim. There are a lot more negative ways to describe Eretz Mitzrayim than it's like a vegetable garden. Why is that the unique way of describing Eretz Mitzrayim? On the contrast to Eretz Yisrael, this is trying to bring out the beauty of Eretz Yisrael. Perek Yud Aleph, Pasuk Yud Aleph. Va'aretz asher atem orim shama l'rishta. This land which you're coming into inherit, Eretz Harim of Ka'ot, it's the land of hills and valleys, Limtar HaShamayim Tishtamayim. Some of the unique aspects of Eretz Yisrael, in contrast to Eretz Mitzrayim, is that you will drink of the water of the heavens, that you will experience rain in Eretz Yisrael. And that somehow leads to the conclusion of these three-line poem. Eretz Asher Hashem Elokecha Doreshota, that somehow brings out that it's a land which HaKadosh Baruch Hu is constantly seeking out to the exclusion of all other lands. Tamid Einei Hashem Elokecha Ba, God's eyes are always on this land. Mereshit HaShana V'yad HaCharit Shana, from the beginning of the year until the end of the year. Unbelievable psukim. All focusing in, again, one of the underlying themes. And which has to create a framework for all the other themes as well. They have to work with each other. Is this focus on Eretz Yisrael. And what makes Eretz Yisrael work? Which in and of itself is a Devarim theme. As we've talked about, the goal of Devarim is to prepare us to enter into Eretz Yisrael. And there were things we needed to address first. So it fits into this narrative of, we see God from a broken perspective of, B'sinat Hashem Utanu, that God hates us, and that He guides the world with hate, and wants to bring us to a place to destroy us. So we're reframing that narrative over Ve'etchanan and Ekev, that God is a God of Ahava, of Tov, leading us with Ahava and Tov to, and that's this Parsha, to a land of Tov, to a land of Ahava. That's where we land in this Parsha. And everything's going to have to fit into that context. But that in and of itself very clearly differentiates Ve'etchanan and Ekev and validates its existence as a unique Parsha in and of itself. So we have one of our primary themes of Ekev. It's going to be Eretz Yisrael. One of the things that we're going to have to figure out how it fits in is that we actually have the retelling of a story in this parsha. Anybody know what story we retell in this parsha? It takes that huge chunk in the middle. It's all a very Mishnah Torah parsha. Not really focusing on the Luchot. That was the retelling of Matan Torah in Parshat Bet Chanan. This is focusing on the other side of that. What? It's retelling this week's Parsha. It's Chet HaEgel. The retelling of Chet HaEgel is the story that's retold in the center of this Parsha. Why that the two would be lined up is a question mark. That I assume are going to have its own Shiran as well. To understand what Chet HaEgel is doing here, there's a lot of questions about what Chet HaEgel is doing here. Why is it in this parsha that's dealing really pretty much exclusively or primarily with the concept of Eretz Yisrael? It's in counter chronological order. We dealt with Chet HaMeraglim in Devarim. Chet HaMeraglim was in Bamidbar. Then we went back to Matan Torah in Bet Chanan, and now we're skipping forward to Chet HaEgel. Also, if we have to talk about the fact that, you know, we're overlapping with the cycle of the year, so we showed the perfect way in which they were matched up with the retelling of the sin of the spies right before Tisha B'Av. Anybody know what Chet HaEgel matches up with? What event does Chet HaEgel produce? No, that's Chet HaMeraglim. It produces Shavas Arba Tammuz. That's on the opposite side of the process. And if Chet HaEgel and Shavas Arba Tammuz lead us to Chet HaMeraglim and to Tisha B'Av, why in the Mishnah Torah would we be doing it in the opposite order? We'll have to unpack all of that. What does that mean? How does that work? But that's sitting in the middle of the Parsha. And there are some other themes also which are what I want to spend today on in the time we have remaining. But I wanted to at least create a framework for this Parsha. I can't lay out each piece clearly yet. I spent a lot of time with the Parsha, but I keep getting distracted by how beautiful Pesukim are. I can't piece together exactly kind of how each paragraph leads to the next in a way where I can give it a title. To me, I just see it almost as one swift movement, and we'll hopefully draw that together over the course of the next few shiurim. So in order to do that, let's start at the beginning, and let's deal with... What are we going to have to link into Akev automatically as well? The name, right? Akev somehow has to be essential to that. Akev, which means a heel. What does that have to do with anything? It's a weird name for the Parsha. Parsha of a heel. And the fact that it starts with ki vaya akev tishmeun, which clunkily is translated here as when you hearken these ordinances, akev tishmeun et hamishpatim. I don't even know which word correlates with akev in that sentence. What do we do with this word akev, which is just struggling in and of itself, stemming from the word heel? It means if you listen to these, let's figure it out. So the first thing that we're going to address in terms of the relationship to Eretz Yisrael, which is again is the kind of base of this parsha, is we have to begin to re-examine what it means to relate to land, to relate to a reality that's not the desert. We talked about this in our introductory shiurim, that one of the biggest transitions that's happening over the course of Devarim is that we're moving from the miraculous reality of the desert into the mundane reality of Eretz Yisrael, and to be able to continue to see the miraculous in the mundane. To continue to see God within the context of the physical world. That it's not just seeing God in the physical world. It's seeing God in the best space, in the most amazing place, in the most subtly supernatural place in the entire world, which is Eretz Yisrael. And that goal of Sefer Devarim, of seeing the miraculous in the mundane, of really moving on the most literal level from the miraculous aspects of the desert into the reality of Eretz Yisrael, that's this parsha. And that's certainly in the opening paragraphs of this parsha that we're studying now in Akev. Let's take a look at the Pesukim inside together, and let's build up the narrative and take home the messages. I don't even have any, I don't search down on Chazals for you, it's all right here. If you keep these mitzvot, because we talked about mitzvot in Parshat Vetchanan, great, we've understood the context of mitzvot. If you keep the mitzvot, ushmartem asitem otam, and you keep them, v'shamar Hashem Elokecha tabrit v'tachetzer shenishpal avotecha, then God will keep his end of the bargain also. V'ahivcha, and he will love you. Uvirachecha, and he will give you bracha. V'hirbecha, and he will increase. And we've talked about it many times in Vivashirim, that the definition of bracha is riboy, is to create more. And we see that clearly reflected here. God says he's going to show, through his love, he's going to show us bracha, and so therefore, it literally creates riboy. V'hirbecha uveirach privit necha ufriad matzecha degancha v'tiroshcha v'itzarecha shkar lafecha v'ashrotzonecha al ha'adama asher nishpal avotecha latilach. It's all in the context of Eretz Yisrael. He will bless you and multiply you and bless the fruit of your womb and the fruit of your land, your grain, your wine, and your oil, the offspring of your cattle, the flocks of your sheep and your goats, on the land that he swore to your forefathers to give to you. Next pasuk, same concept, bringing it forward. Uveirach privit necha, ufriad matecha, degancha, v'tiroshcha, v'itzarecha, shkar lafecha, which rather took a apologize. Baruch tiyem mikol amim, lo yedacha akar v'akarav yomtecha. You will be the most blessed of all people. There will be no infertile male or infertile female among you or among your animals. Constant reboy, but again, in how is the bracha of Hashem going to be manifest? Producing children. Seeing the produce of the field. Seeing the animals increase. These are all subtle things. But this is where the bracha is going to manifest if we live in a reality with a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Then reasserting one of the most fundamental things that we talked about in Parshat Devarim, in the beginning of the next paragraph, Pasuk Yud Zayin. Ki tomar bilvavecha rabim agoyim ha'ela mimeni. If you say, be careful not to say in your hearts that this nation is too big, and then that echa rears its ugly head again. Echa uchal lehorisham. How are we going to be able to overcome them? Don't say that. That's what we address in Parshat Devarim. That this land looks physical, but it's spirituality that guides it. Lo tira mehem, don't fear them. And an emphasis on what Sefer Devarim is setting out to accomplish. Zachor tizkor, double lashon of tizkor, of committing to memory, like the Mishnah Torah is about going over things to commit it and move it into that long-term memory, to keep it with us. Zachor tizkor, et asher asem elokecha lefaro lechol mitzrayim. All of the miracles to know that God is the one who runs the show. Skipping ahead to the end of the pasuk, Kein yaseh Hashem Elokecha lechol ha'amim asher ata yireim fehem. God is in charge. Pasuk chafalef. Therefore, lo ta'arotz fehem. Don't fear them. Ki Hashem Elokecha bekirbecha. God is within you. He's not as manifest. There's no longer clouds. There's no longer ash. There's no longer clear guidance of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. But God is the only one guiding things. God is amongst you. Kel gadol v'nora. And it will be God who takes them away. And we'll even way of phrases it. God will slowly but surely move these other nations away from in front of you. Why? You won't beat them quickly. God will remove these nations from before you little by little. You will not be able to annihilate them quickly lest the beasts of the field increase against you. Why is that a weird phraseology? What was being emphasized here? Who's the one who's going to help us get through Eretz Yisrael, conquer Eretz Yisrael? God. But God says, don't worry, I won't do it too fast. We'll do it slowly just to make sure that the animals don't then come and inherit the empty space and you wouldn't be able to settle it properly. Why is that odd? Because who's in charge? What can God do? Anything. But look at the way that God, Kadosh Baruch Hu, is framing it for us, that it's going to be a physical battle against people who are stronger than us, but everything is all going to be done through the natural means. You're going to go to war, but you will beat them because I'm behind you, because I'm the one who's fighting for you. You're going to drive them out slowly because according to the laws of nature, that if you do it too fast, then the animals are going to come and inherit land, but we're going to do it all according to natural law because you need to be able to see that I'm within that natural law. You need to see that. And then the next pasuk blows the doors off of everything. Sorry, the next paragraph. Perachat pasuk aleph. Kol ha-mitzvah asher anochi metzavacha hayom tishmun la'asot l'man techiyun. Keep all these mitzvot which I'm telling you in order that you live, urevitem, and that you produce, uvatem, v'yirshem ta'arch, and yishpash amal deyichem, in order that you inherit the land. We're going to go through this paragraph slowly, and that's what we're really just going to focus on today. Because this is the paragraph. This is Again, you don't need anything more than what Moshe says. V'zacharta et kol haderech. Remember the whole way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu took you. Asher olicha Hashem Elokecha zeh arbim shana. Bamidbar. We've never been given a reason why we had troubles in the desert, but it's Devarim, and this is the bottom line, and everything becomes clear. We're looking at it from a new perspective, and Moshe Rabbeinu gives us everything on a silver platter. Why did God take us through this difficult desert for 40 years? I'll tell you why. Lema'an anotcha, because God wanted to afflict you. Lenasotcha, to test you. Ladat that there eight asher bilvavecha, to know what's in your heart. Hatishmor mitzvotayim lo, to know if you're really going to follow his ways or not. That's why we went through difficulties in the desert. God was forging you into the people he needed to become. Vayi'ancha, he afflicted you. Vyarivecha, he let you get hungry. In order to do what? Vayi'achilcha ataman, in order to give you the man to eat. Asher lo yadata v'liyodun avotecha, which you didn't know, and nobody else, there was nothing like the man ever before. Lemano diacha, to teach you. Look at this, Moshe Rabbeinu is literally spelling it out for us. I wish Moshe could teach this class. I would just sit and listen. Like, who would want? Moshe telling us why stuff happens. It's all right here. Why did we go through this, and why did God give us man? I'll tell you, in case you weren't able to read between the lines in Sefer Shmot. Leman hodiacha, ki lo al halechem levado yichya ha'adam, because man does not live by bread alone. Ki al kol motza pi Hashem yichya ha'adam. It may come through the bread, but what gives us life? God gives us life. Again, he's reframing for us things that we've talked about in previous shirim, but Moshe Rabbeinu is literally reframing for us in these psukim. We had man in the desert. If you would have asked me yesterday, why did we have man in the desert? The answer would be, well, there was no food and we needed to eat. Says Moshe, okay, but God could have walked you through a place with lots of food. He could have walked you through the tropics. He could have walked you through any land. He could have made the whole, if he wanted to make a miracle, he could have just had trees sprout up and travel us wherever we go. Why this way? Because God wanted to teach you that we don't live by eating bread. We live because God gives us life through bread, through food. It struck me when I was preparing shir for today that's why it's such a weird phraseology. That at the beginning of the parsha where we're given the man, do you know how it's phrased? What God tells us he's going to do? Hineni mamtir lachem, lechem min hashamayim. Was it bread? No. Why call it bread? And I looked at all the mepharshim and they're like, oh, lechem means ochel. And all the mepharshim have to jump on it, and all the parshim in there in Shmot, in Parshat Bishalach, have to deal with the fact, why is it using the word lechem? And they all translate it as food, or just like you take substance and make bread, so too God is giving us a substance through which we can, you can do whatever you want it to taste like, so it would become like bread. But why use the word lechem? Because that's the goal, that's what God was trying to teach us, that's what Moshe Rabbeinu is clarifying here. I am giving you bread from the heavens. It doesn't matter what you want bread to be. The bread can come by somehow miraculously having a seed sprout from the ground and cutting it and grinding it and making it into flour and making the flour into bread, or it can come from the heavens, but you know what? It's all the same thing. Because lo al lechem levado yichya adam, al kol motzei pi Hashem yichya adam. That's where life truly comes from. We didn't have the man so we could survive in the desert. The whole point of our whole journey in the desert was to prepare us for Eretz Yisrael. We got the man to prepare us to understand for 40 years to live with the fact that food comes from Shamayim, even if it comes from the ground. And to be able to live with that, to internalize that 40 years later and make that a part of who we are. Even farther than that, Simlatcha lo valta me'alecha, v'raglecha lo vatzecha zeh arba'im shana, pasuk dalet. Your garment did not wear upon you and your feet did not swell these 40 years. Can you imagine? I don't want to freak anybody out. Can you imagine 40 years no shopping? 40 years. What did they do? Right? 40 years. Where did they get new clothes from? They didn't get new clothes from anywhere. They didn't have anything. Their clothing didn't wear out for 40 years because God clothes you too. And when you go into Eretz Yisrael, you have to make your own clothing. God's giving you that clothing, even though you're part of the process now. It's all coming from Hashem. V'yadata, pasukei, v'yadata im levavecha, you need to know in your heart, ki ka'asher yaser ishet beno, Hashem Elokecha miyasreka, that all of the trials and tribulations that you went through, just like a parent has to chastise their child in order to teach them important lessons in life. That was why God put you through everything, was to teach you and for you to learn, and these are the lessons that you need to internalize. And to keep the mitzvot of Hashem and to walk in His ways and to fear Him. That's what God was trying to teach you these 40 years in the desert. Because God is now going to lead you into a good land. It's a land that is tov, I'm guaranteeing you, says Moshe. It's a land that is tov. And what makes it tov is that it has what you need, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives you what you need through this land. Eretz Nachalei Mayim Ayinot Tomot Yotzim BaBikar VaHar. Skin that we read before. A land with streams of water, of springs and underground water coming forth in valley and mountain. Eretz, again, this is what makes it unique. You have to be able to see the beauty in this, because if you don't see the beauty in this, you won't see the beauty in Eretz Yisrael. It's an Eretz Chita U'Seora V'Gefen U'Te'ina V'Rimon Eretz Zeit Shemen U'Dvash. These aren't just the seven fruits of Eretz Yisrael. When you walk around and you see a pomegranate in Eretz Yisrael, you have to see a Kadosh Baruch Hu. When you walk around and you see a fig in Eretz Yisrael, you need to see a Kadosh Baruch Hu. It's a land that produces these things because a Kadosh Baruch Hu wills it so, because it's a beautiful land of life, of sustenance, of food. And then within that, then that opens up doorways of recognition that if these seven foods are the foods of Eretz Yisrael, well, that's an interesting number. What do we link all sevens back to? Just jump all the way to the end point. What do we get back to? The Sfirot. The Sfirot. It's not Psalm 7. I know, and we're not going to talk about it now, but each one of those seven fruits lines up with one of the seven Sfirot. Because Eretz Yisrael is deep, but you have to, as opposed to other situations where it's overt, you all didn't even like jump to it because, like you said, we haven't brought up in a while. But the point is, take all of that, those big ideas, and now we have to put it into the land. Do you see that when you see the seven fruits of Eretz Yisrael? Do you see creation? Do you see the seven days of creation? Do you see the Sfirot? Do you see a Kadosh Baruch Hu within that? Not that a Kadosh Baruch Hu is any of those things. A Kadosh Baruch Hu is not the Sfirot. I'm saying, but do you see a Kadosh Baruch Hu within the land? But these aren't just descriptive. They're the essence of what Eretz Yisrael is. Eretz asher lo b'miskenut tochal ba'lechem. Lo techsar kol ba Eretz asher avaneh barzel ma'areh techsov nechoshet. A land where you will eat bread without poverty, you will lack nothing there. A land whose stones are iron, from whose mountains you will mine copper. And here's the key. Another huge pasuk in Judaism. Here's the key. Ve'achalta v'savata. And you will eat that food, and you will become sated. How do we normally quote this pasuk? It's not how the pasuk works. Look at the punctuation in the pasuk. Look at the trup. V'achalta v'savata. That cantillation underneath v'savata means to pause. That's like a comma. You will eat and you will be sated. And the point is that then once you've eaten and you're sated, you need to be able to move then to a place where your automatic response is, Uveirachta Hashem Elokecha ala aretz atover shnat alach. You then turn and thank God for the beautiful land and all the food that He's given you and all of the things that He's given you in this land in Eretz Yisrael. It's not just v'achalta v'savata uveirachta. V'achalta v'savata uveirachta Hashem Elokecha. It needs to bring you to that place. That's an Eretz Yisrael mentality. That's how you're going to be able to stay in the land, to live in the land, to survive in the land, to live the land the way it's meant to be lived. And then he starts to again drive this home. And these are words that keep coming up again and again. This push and pull between Zachor and Al Tishkach, of making sure that we really bring the lessons of the desert home and make them a part of us. Hishamir lecha, guard yourself, pen tishkach, lest you forget, not that God is in charge of everything, that you forget God at all. Because God's no longer going to be clear. I just told you all, this. I just explained to you, says God, how you're supposed to live in Eretz Yisrael. And if you don't live like this, if you don't maintain this perspective, this proper perspective, this good perspective, this true and objective perspective. Hishamir lecha, pen tishkach et Hashem Elokecha. Be very careful lest you forget God. Nivilti shmor mitzvotav u'mishpatav v'chukotav asher anochi mitzavcha hayom. Lest what happens, look at the lack of parallel here, where everything begins to fall apart. Pentochal v'savata, lest you eat and be sated. And what's missing? Uverachta. See the tzukim inside. The savata's gone. Sorry, the savata's still there. That's fine. The berachta's gone. Pentochal v'savata, lest you eat and be sated in uvatim tovim tivnevi yashavta, but you're not, forget about berachta. I'm off to building huge mansions and enjoying my incredible meals. God who? God what? I didn't see him as part of this. I worked. I built. I worked that field. I don't know what you're talking about. Uvikarcha v'tzoncha yirbayun v'ketzev zahav yirbelecha. And you have so much more cattle and so much more gold and silver, and everything you have increases. It's like, it's almost frightening in terms of, you can think of areas and people where this is, I mean, we're talking modern day issues here. Where wealth can lead a person so clearly off the path of recognizing that it comes from God. Lest you come to a place in Lo Aleinu, so many people think this way. Because we're not at Geula yet, and this is the Sefer that brings us to Eretz Yisrael. This is the Sefer that brings us to Geula, and so few people think this way. So many people think this way in a broken way. The next pasuk, v'ram livavecha. It's painful to read, and your heart becomes haughty. V'shachachta et Hashem Elokecha, and you forget God. Hamotziacha me'eretz Mitzrayim beit avadim. Who brought you through all of these things in the desert to teach you to remember him. Pasuk Yud Zayin, skipping ahead. The amarta bilvavecha, and you say in your heart, Kochi v'otzem yadi asali atachayel hazeh. It's my strength and the strength of my hand which created this success. That's the downfall in Eretz Yisrael. That's the end of being able to live in Eretz Yisrael. Kochi v'otzem yadi asali atachayel hazeh. It was me. I don't know what you're talking about with God. I worked, I figured it out, I put in the hours, I made the money, I built the house, my housekeeper prepared the food. I don't know what you're talking about. That's where everything breaks down. If we forget that God is the guiding hand behind all of that, that He makes the food grow, that He puts the check in the mail, and His shaliach is the person who signed it, that He made that house stand up, that He put that food on the table, and that everything that comes from there is a chance for me to connect Him and relate to Him and to see Ahavat Hashem in this world. Because if I don't see Him, everything falls apart. Again, this tug of Zacharta and Shachachta, the final pasuk of this paragraph. V'zacharta at Hashem Elokecha, remember Hashem your God. He's the only one who gives you the power to be successful. It has to all come from Him, and you have to remember that. And then this, I understand this is kind of the concluding paragraph of these three paragraphs, where it literally goes up and then down. And you see how it beautifully comes to a conclusion if you think about these three paragraphs that way, these three opening paragraphs. Pasuk Yotet, the third paragraph. Vaya im shachoach tishkach, and lo alinu, if you do, again, now this double lashon of forgetting. Im shachoach tishkach, if you forget God, et Hashem Elokecha. V'halachta acharei Elohim acherim, and you go after other gods. Now, we're going to talk more about that, but suddenly I'm understanding why that's going into Chet HaEgel. That somehow not seeing God as the foundation of the physical world is either going to lead to or be the equivalent of idolatry. So going back to Chet HaEgel now sounds like a good place to go if we assume that that's correct. And that's why the next paragraph immediately goes into Chet HaEgel. And if you look through this paragraph, there are actually multiple hints to this. It brings up this concept of how it will lead you to go and serve other gods, which doesn't seem to make sense in context unless we understand that somehow losing this perspective is somehow equivalent with idolatry. Or at least equivalent with the Chet HaEgel. And you serve them and you bow down to him. I am guaranteeing you, I'm testifying against you today, you will be lost from this land. Like the nations that God drove out, you're also going to be thrown out. And look at the last phrase, which is why I'm convinced this is an up and then down. Beautiful parallel to the opening pasuk. because you didn't listen to the words of Hashem your God. What is this word Akev? Vaya Akev Tishmeun.
So we're just going to go with simplest shot, so to speak, of Rashi.
Rashi says, let me have Rashi in front of them. Good for all of you for only having this strict chumash.
You have Rashi? Excellent. That counts. This is no doubt, this is a good
chumash. Has the breaks. Vaya says Rashi understands this to mean im hamitzvot hakalot asher hakalot she'adam dash be'akivav tishmeun. If you keep the mitzvot which a person normally tramples upon with their heel. Why would that be what's being emphasized here? What mitzvot do people tend to trample with their heel? First of all, beautiful imagery. Why is that beautiful imagery for what we're talking about? We're talking about how to live on the land and keep our feet on the ground. And I very much think that that's trying to be brought out through that lashon, and that's why he's in Ekev Tishmeun. This whole parsha is about keeping our feet on the ground and feeling the spirituality from the ground, from the earthiness, seeing the, again, the miraculous and the mundane. But the ones which we trample on with our feet, are we talking about eating matzah on Pesach? Are we? Probably not. We're talking about Shvichut Damim? Hope not. It's going to be a short year, right? We're talking about Avodah Zarah? Probably not. Avodah Zarah, well, we have to understand why that's linked in, but probably not. Not certainly in the overt sense of literally bowing down to an idol. Maybe we're talking about which way you tie your shoes. May here know which way you tie your shoes? You just tied your shoes twice. You put on the right and then put on the left, then you tie the left and tie the right. Right? Obviously. Not even comments on Pesach. Sometimes you see us be trying. Don't kill. I'm in. Much safer society that way. No idolatry. One God. Makes sense. Monotheistic religion. Tie your shoes. Put on your right shoe and then your left shoe and then tie your left shoe and then tie your right shoe. Literally picking one that's related to your feet. What does God care? What does God care? What I think one layer of what Rashi is emphasizing here and what he's bringing out from this pasuk is, what is the whole thrust of this parsha about? It's about seeing that God is in everything. Everything. And there's no such thing as a little mitzvah. There's no such thing as a small mitzvah. There's no such thing as an inconsequential mitzvah. As a mitzvah that God doesn't care so much about or that I shouldn't care so much about. Because if I view the world as a means by which to connect to Hashem, and on top of that I'm even given mitzvot about how to interact with that world, and make every aspect of this physical world in every single seemingly mundane way into an act of Avodat Hashem, then I'm a ben or a bat Eretz Yisrael. When I see everything as being going toward a goal of closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then I'm a ben or a bat Eretz Yisrael, like we talked about last year, Yashar Kel. I'm straight and headed to a destination. If I trample on things with my heel, Ram Levavecha, I've put myself on a pedestal that I don't belong. There's no mitzvah that belongs underneath my heel, that belongs under my feet. Every mitzvah is significant. Every mitzvah has depth. Every mitzvah about how we're going to relate to the land is going to create the context and how we're going to live within that land. All the mitzvot hatliot ba'aretz, and how much of the corner of my field to leave off, and what happens if something falls, and what I have to do with commerce, and this and that. All of these nitty-gritty little details that are all pure ruchnius. Vayayim ekev tishme'un, if you see me in everything, and you live my mitzvot in every aspect of life, and not just doing the mitzvot, like we talked before, it's not just about doing the mitzvot to do the mitzvot, it's not just doing the mitzvot in a way where there's no connection to the mitzvot. You're living in the mitzvot. You're living the ruchnius that's in the mitzvot. When you do that, then we come into this land together, and we coming together, you and I, says the Kadosh Baruch Hu, the land will explode. And you'll have children, and your crops will increase, and your flock will increase, and everything will be good because it's a land of Tov. Because that's what Tov is. Tov is closeness with me. Going back to Derech Hashem. Tov equals Dveikut, right? That's how we defined it in Derech Hashem. Because it's a land of Tov, it's a land of Dveikut, and that's why the word Dveikut comes up endlessly in this Parsha. Eretz Yisrael is an opportunity to cling to me in everything that you do, in every mitzvah that you do, in every way you relate to the land. And it's about getting rid of my egotistical sense of self, my kochi ve'otzam yadi asali et achayel hazeh, my ve'achalta ve'savata uwat, and getting to a place where I see everything in the land as being godly. Achalta ve'savata uve'rachta tashem alecha, my immediate response, I have to thank God. I did that, I practiced that. I tried, you're supposed to try to mechanic your kids. That's a thing, I think it's a mitzvah, right? And last night, like, I'm trying to, like, again, I try to think creatively about how to bring these mitzvot home and be mechanic my children in the same way. So we finished dinner last night, and things were a little thrown off last night. There were some weird phone calls that came in, like, some were from Israel, and it's not like, just like the whole dinner time was thrown off to try to make sure not to do. Dinner time is supposed to be sacred time, which means it is most of the time. And Aliza had run upstairs to already start getting changed. And I called up and I said, Aliza, you forgot to say thank you. And she ran back downstairs and she said, to who? I said, to God, to Hashem. She's like, oh, I didn't bench. But I wanted to reassert for her that that's what benching is. To remember that benching isn't just fulfilling the mitzvah d'oraita, the only bracha, potentially the only bracha that's a mitzvah d'oraita, and fulfilling the mitzvah d'oraita, kitikna, of Birkat HaMazon. You're also thanking God. And to remember that that's what's sitting behind it. That that's where it is. When you say Al HaMichya, recognize that it's a short bracha and the whole middle section is thanking God for Eretz Yisrael. Because that's where we're supposed to be and that's the fruit that we're supposed to most enjoy. That there are whole paragraphs in Birkat HaMazon about Eretz Yisrael, because it's all coming from this parsha. Because that's the place where we most see godliness. That's what opens up Parshat Ekev. This again, this unfortunate rise and then fall. Im lo Ekev lo tishmun is where it falls down to, and that leads us into a discussion of Chet HaEgel. But to fortify ourselves, to see the miraculous and the mundane, to recognize that everything that we have, again, every check that comes to a Kadosh Baruch Hu through somebody else. All the food that we have came to the table, whether we made it or somebody else made it, through them, to the table. That our house, whoever it was built by, through them, by a Kadosh Baruch Hu. To see godliness in everything is to be a Ben or a Bat Eretz Yisrael. And especially when in Eretz Yisrael, that land where it's so deeply manifest. And I challenge you all that when you're in Eretz Yisrael, see if you can feel it. I don't know, maybe it's just in my head. I don't think it is. I mean, it's in the Pesukim, so it's probably not in my head. But when I get to Eretz Yisrael, you feel Hashgachat Hashem differently. You feel those Pesukim of Eretz Yer Hashem Doreshota. I hope you feel it. When you're there, you just feel it different. It feels different when you eat. It feels different when you walk. It feels different when you breathe. Because in Eretz Yisrael, that is the goal of the union of the spiritual and the physical. And you feel it there in a way that you just don't feel anywhere else. It's the only land that's like that. And Moshe Rabbeinu is begging us in this parsha, Zachor al tishkach, remember, keep in mind all of the things that you learned in the desert when the man fell from the heaven, and the be'er came up from the ground, and you had a roof over your head with the clouds, and you had a safe home, and you had a safe home and fire at night from the Amud HaEsh. Remember all of that when you have that in Israel, because it's all the same. It's two different things that are both the same. Rav Shem should be able to maintain that perspective, and we'll go into how that leads us to the complicated and nuanced issues of Chet HaEgel. Rav Shem next time.